This is the March meeting for the New Haven Policeman and Fireman's Pension Fund. Good morning, all. We'll begin with the item number one, investment report. Mr. Moran?
Good morning, everybody. Hi, Taylor, if you want to pull up that most recent report that we talked about. A little bit larger, about 80% might be best. Or 75. Good morning. So we're going to talk about the end of February numbers. As we all know, it's been a volatile first part of the year, being February being probably one of the worst months versus from January and February. March has actually been better. So in this report, we're going to highlight mostly the individual managers because there's a little bit of skewing here because of two managers in this report. And there's actually an error on one of the parts of the report, which is skewing the numbers. So look at the one-month number on top in the blue, down 3.7%. That's a little bit skewed because of the way it's recorded. So this will be fixed next month. It's a reporting issue. It's a brand new system that we built. This is not done locally. It's done out of Memphis and Chicago. So we'll get it straightened out. If you look at the number below that in the brown color, the negative 1.32, it's a little more reflective of the overall fund. And if you look over all the way to the three-year and inception numbers, you see that averaged out 11.26 and the 13.24. That's average per year over the last 3 years. So well above our 7.25 discount rate. Go down to the large cap managers. As you can see, across the board, most everyone has lost money in equities. Large cap has done better than mid and small for the most part. And you can see Sizer outperforming their benchmark on a relative basis. They're outperforming, obviously, on an absolute basis. Everyone has lost money. Atlanta down 2.89. And you can see Aristotle slightly below their benchmark also. Mid cap, Cook and Beeler, pretty average numbers on the three-month number. They're doing very well. And Mutual of America, as you can see, down also, but pretty close to their benchmark of the mid-cap index. Below that, if you want to page down a little bit to Cook and Beeler, you see a big rotation here. And it's a big reason as to why we do asset allocation and we spread money out between different asset classes. You know, value underperformed dramatically last year for the most part. You can see growth in this report really getting beat up in the first part of the year. It's a combination of a lot of things, but with the 10-year moving the way it did and rates going up, the pressure on a lot of the growth names out there. Recently, we've had a nice rally, but January and February, very difficult on it. So ClearBridge has been a great performer for us over long periods of time. If you look at the three-year number, 14.5 versus 9.22, it's been good. But you can see in the short term, the growth side versus the value has really been beat up. So it's a theme that we'll keep an eye on. We've talked about it at length between both funds as far as where to add new money. And we're kind of seeing how this all shakes out in the next couple months as to where we're going to deploy stuff. But we're allocated well because we're diversified in both asset classes. So if you want to go down to the next page, you'll see on here why there's a little bit of skewing here. Channing has been a conversation, obviously, of late. I spoke to Channing and Cook and Beeler yesterday on the phone, and Channing's a manager that has struggled in the past, but they have a high quality portfolio. So you can see that long-term number, the three-year number is still below, but the one-year number is really rallied back. So we're going to continue to watch them, continue to talk with them. I'm going to see them on a trip in a couple of weeks. So we'll get a little face-to-face time and see what their process is. And we're actually going to recommend bringing at least one manager in the next month or two to kind of talk about, you know, where their numbers are going and their process and see why there's a drift here as far as returns and dispersion versus what they're marked against. On the international side, if you look at the individual managers, it's more reflective. That's where I was talking about the glitch. The negative 24.9 is incorrect. We'll get that fixed, and that's what's skewing the top numbers slightly. And it'll work out when we next do the next report. And on the long-term numbers, it always works out when we get all the reports in from the non-liquid investments, the alternatives. So you can see WCM is one of the managers of the two that we're talking about bringing in for a conversation. Their negative numbers for the first 2 months of the year pretty dramatic, and for the 6 months, even more so. If you look over 3 years, they're still outperforming, but let's get a little conversation with them as to what's going on. Is it a fundamental thing with stock picking? Is it allocation to which country they're buying? Let's get a story on that and then reassess. They do have a lot of money in their portfolio versus other managers. So we could always look to take from them and keep an eye on them and to give some to the others. In that asset class, we still have one more manager to be funded. We've been doing a lot of back office operational stuff to get that up and running. So there will be three managers in international. So that'll balance it out. We'll keep an eye on all three and see who's doing the best over the next cycle, which usually is 1 to 2 years. But we'll keep an eye on them on a quarterly basis to get going. Fixed income, you can see below that. It's a pretty straightforward story. Rates have gone up pretty dramatically. One of the biggest moves in rates in the first part of the year, going back probably 30 or 40 years. So it's stabilized a little bit here. I'll get into it when I talk about the total fund and where we think things are going after this. But across the board, you can see that in a rising, quickly rising interest rate environment, it's tough to be a manager in fixed income and not lose money. So they're there for a reason. We're very low allocation on our investment policy statement with fixed income for a reason. We're going to talk about also going into the next meeting, looking at an investment that might be a hedge to traditional long-only bond managers. It's something I've looked at over the last year or so, because a lot of funds out there and all the news that I read are looking at alternatives to traditional fixed income. So where can we get a similar type of investment with a little different characteristics that might stem off this rising rate environment, which we have not seen in quite a while. So we'll talk about that going forward. Cash-wise in the portfolio, so you can go down to put on one more page. We'll talk about one of the other managers that we're keeping a close eye on might bring in. So it's either going to be Alkyon or WCM for hopefully the next meeting to kind of give us a handle on
Hey, sorry to interrupt. Taylor, Mr. Cannon said he's in the waiting room and he's trying to get in.
Hello, good morning there. I'm
in. Oh, you're on the phone. Okay. My apologies.
Yeah, thank you. No, thank you.
Go ahead, Taylor.
So Alkyon is the other manager that we're keeping an eye on. This is a long short manager versus the hedge fund manager below it. So Alkyon, over the years, and we've owned this investment for many clients over a long period of time, and you can see their 3-year inception numbers are outstanding, but they've really been up against it over the last year, and we just want to get a story as to what's going on. They make money betting on the market, and they make money betting against the market. So they're long some stocks, and then they're shorting others. So it's a little more risky, and they use a little bit of leverage. So that adds volatility when you're wrong and when you're right. So maybe a conversation with them as to what's going on with the portfolio, where's the attribution as to why they're getting beat up so bad, and what are they doing to turn it around? They do get paid well for what they do. So let's get a handle on what's going on and why we're paying them so much to do what they do, and hopefully they can turn the ship. So this part of the report can be shut down. We'll go to market talk. Before that, let's talk about cash positions. We have roughly about $42 million right now in cash, which is healthy. However, we do have a manager to fund, which will bring that number down to about $30 million. We obviously have to prepare for outgoing cash flows, but we do have an investment coming due that will give us about 13 or 14 million at the end of June. So it's always a balancing act as to how to pay benefits and be liquid, how to fund managers, and also how to kind of trim the tree when it comes to taking money from other managers so that we stay fully invested, but we do have enough liquidity to pay benefits. So we constantly keep an eye on that so that we have a cushion with Northern Trust when money's going out. So if you want to go to the market talk. I know we have a busy agenda here, so I'm going to go through this. You can make it a little bigger, but I'm going to talk out loud. You can see on this is pretty straightforward stuff. A lot has changed since February, and we're always in arrears. So this is market talk, talking about March and where we are right now. You can see year-to-date pricing across the board is negative, but on the 12-month side, we're doing well. Below that, you have the disparities between individual sectors, and it's a full reversal, as we've talked about, versus the last 2 years coming out of the pandemic. So energy, we all know that story with oil. Oil is actually rallying today down on about 6,000 barrel, and the fact that President Biden mentioned he might release some reserves in the U.S. So it's down about $6. So a little bit of a relief right there. So one of the questions that came up last meeting that I looked into was, hey, what do the markets do over the next 6 and 12 months in a situation where we are right now with Russia and Ukraine? So we look back at some numbers, and this goes back from Pearl Harbor up until the Iraqi war. So on average, next 6 months following these events from the beginning, on average, 6 months later, the equity markets were up 5.5%. So that's good. 12 months later, the equity markets were up 8.6%. Now, this is an average between many, many events over the last, 100 years. Best case scenario was Iraq. The market was up 28%. And the worst case scenario was after 9/11, when the market was down 18.4%. So hopefully we're looking for an average of those two coming out of this. And I'll give you an idea of what we think is going to happen at the end of my talk in what's called our base case scenario, what we think might happen. And there could be a worse than a better, but what we're thinking about as far as the base case. So again, March has been a better month, but we're seeing sharp rallies. We're seeing, down 5, up 8, down 5, up 6. So we talked about the fact that in markets like this, in bull markets, you'll get that on the way up. And in bear markets, you'll get that where you have these short-term rallies and then retesting long-term lows. So we're going to keep an eye on that. We still think we have positive numbers over the next 12 months, but there are very good short-term headwinds when it comes to why this won't work out immediately. Talk about a couple of reasons why. So we got Russia and Ukraine. Highly uncertain, right? We don't know what's going on. We're not trying to trust promises that happened as in yesterday. So we think that this is going to work its way out, hopefully within the next 3 to 6 months. But we're anticipating high volatility with what's going on over there. And it impacts everything, as we know. It impacts equity markets. It impacts commodities and everything that we see on TV every single day. So we're praying for some type of compromise there. And obviously for the people of Ukraine and the people of Russia economically, so that this kind of works its way out. We're on day 36. I don't think anyone thought it was going to last this long, especially Putin. But hopefully we're getting to the point where there's a little bit of a stalemate here when we move forward. But that's not my job. I'll talk about that. I talk about equity markets and financial markets. With that said, that's one of the first hurdles. The second one is the Federal Reserve. So we're trying to slow the market down, the economy down, right? Because we're working a little bit too hot. It's causing inflation, high prices and everything, milk, gas, name it. So the Federal Reserve has already raised interest rates a quarter of 1 point, and they're looking to do another 6 or 7 raises between now and the end of the year. So we're hopefully we're getting a situation where the Fed doesn't tighten too much. We get a situation where they slow things down just enough so that the economy continues to do well and it doesn't stop. So we also have what's called a flattening yield curve. I mentioned that the last meeting or two. So they're raising short-term rates, but the Fed has no control over long-term rates. The market controls long-term rates. The market controls your mortgage rates. So they're raising short-term rates, and that's their job. But when short-term rates get higher than long-term rates, it's a recessionary signal. And every single time over the last 2 decades, it's led to recession when it's inverted. So keeping a close eye on that. It did it slightly the other day, and hopefully it doesn't continue. But if that's the case, we'll be looking at a recession, maybe going to the end of the year or next year. And a recession is defined as 2 negative GDP quarters in a row. So we're watching that. Quite frankly, we don't think that will happen, but we're going to keep a close eye on it. But economically, and earnings wise, we're doing well. The economy is doing very well. It's doing too well, and that's the problem. So we're trying to slow it down. And earnings have been pretty outstanding on the corporate level. So good things are going on. We're just looking for a lot of things to work out. We're looking for Russia. We're looking for the Fed. We're looking for the economy. So what do we think is going to happen over the next 12 months? So as a team, we think the war subsides slowly. Okay, next 3 to 6 months. I don't think it's going to end next week. But as a firm and as a team, we think over the next 3 to 6 months, things will calm its way down. We also think that inflation doesn't continue to rise at a rapid rate. We think that it moderates. We think that the Federal Reserve knows what they're doing and slowly raises rates to a point where it moderates, but it doesn't stop. So we're looking for a soft landing on that. But the moral to the story is that we stay fully invested because this will not be a linear ride. All right. This is going to look like a, it's going to look like a, good EKG, where it goes up and down like this, you know, every other month. But we think that with that volatility, not being linear, but with that volatility, we'll still see a situation where we get a soft landing. Equity markets look better than they do right now over the next 6 and 12 months. We continue to stay fully invested, and we look for ways to tweak the portfolio to take advantage of what we forecast going forward. With that, for example, staying invested between both growth and value, and on the fixed income side, looking for alternatives to traditional long-only bond managers. So I know you have a full agenda. I'll open it up to any questions. Otherwise, I'll let you go about your meeting.
Dave, this is Trustee Cannon. Thank you for that presentation. I do have one question. The allocation ratio of our fund, what sectors need to be addressed to reach the allocation limit, or if we're overfunded in one area, what do we need to do?
Okay, so a couple things. We're over-invested in cash, which again is strategic. So we're supposed to have more cash than we do on the books right now. However, we were able to diverge from our investment policy statement for periods of time. So you could also look at cash as a fixed income investment, right? Pays a very, very small amount of interest, but it's not correlated to equity. So we're overweighted in cash. We're trying to deploy that. And with the first part of your question is, where are we looking to do that? We don't know yet, because it's been a volatile ride between both equity classes. So with fixed income, like I talked about, we need to add to that asset class if the portfolio continues to grow. So I'm looking at alternatives to that, and I'll bring somebody in to talk about that within the next 2 or 3 months. On the equity side and on the international side, it's a tough call. They seem to be going back and forth with rates. It seems like the higher the rates go, growth's getting beat up more. And then we get a little stabilization. We get a little bit of a rally in fixed income and values outperforming. So to your question, Trustee Cannon, right now we're going to stay allocated the way we are, but we will be looking at strategically and tactically where we should put money in sectors to really tweak the portfolio and be more strategic versus just being completely invested the way we are. We try to overweight certain sectors that we think are going to outperform. We just don't have a handle on that right this second.
Understood. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to acknowledge that the mayor is in the meeting now, and I'm going to turn this meeting over to Mayor Elliker. Mayor, are you there?
I am here. Thanks, Trustee Cannon, for managing the meeting. I'm sorry for being a little bit late. Good to see everyone. Any other questions for Dave or Derek about the investment report? Okay, let's move on to item 2 on the agenda, approval of the minutes. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Trustee Ribeiro, so
hold. Trustee Ribeiro made the motion. Is there a second? I think I heard Trustee Cannon made the second. Any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor, Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. The minutes pass. Moving on to item 3, administrative matters. A, discussion regarding the adoption of a policy creating time limits for attending medical examinations for applicants for disability benefits. I know there's been a lot of discussion. Attorney Cohn, do you have an update here?
I believe so. This is Carolyn Cohn. So when we met last month in February, I had presented a policy regarding the need to set some time limits for people to attend medical exams to apply for disability benefits. And at that time, Trustee McDermott raised the question whether or not the...
Carolyn, you went on mute unexpectedly.
So anyway, last month we had spoken about a proposed policy to require certain time limits for disability applicants to attend medical examinations. And at that meeting, Trustee McDermott raised the question whether or not that policy needed to be collectively bargained between the police union and the city and the fire union and the city. And Labor Relations Director agreed that policy needed to be collectively bargained. So my understanding, and I sent to you an unsigned agreement, was that there has been a number of discussions between the city's labor relations director and council for both unions. And I believe, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, the unions themselves and the labor relations director. And my understanding is that what was sent to you by Taylor, this proposed agreement with the police union and the city, and there would be an identical one between the fire union and the city, has been agreed to, although I do not have signed copy of the agreement. So just to go through it, there would be a 1-year time limit for an applicant to appear at their medical examination. They would be given notice of that when they apply. There would be a special, if the person came up with what we called unusual circumstances, they would appeal to the board, and the board would listen to those circumstances and decide whether or not there should be an extension of that 1 year. Somebody who was unhappy with the board's decision would have whatever legal rights any other person who's unhappy with the board's decisions have, administrative or in court. And if the person did not comply within that 1 year period, or the period that was extended by the board, their disability application would be denied. So there's nothing for this board to do, because it would be a settlement agreement with the two unions that would be binding on the administration of the plan. So I can answer any questions.
Thanks, Attorney Cohen. Any questions from folks?
And I want to thank both the unions and the city's labor relations director.
You beat me to it.
Yeah, all their attention to this matter.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Obviously, labor relations director's not here, but appreciate the union's collaboration. So I think there's a clear need for some clarity here, and appreciate the willingness to work together to figure out a solution. And also appreciate Trustee McDermott raising it last time.
Mayor, Trustee Cannon, on behalf of Local 825, which I serve as the president, we are close to finalizing this deal. And we appreciate the labor director's work with our union, and I believe also with the police union, on getting this matter addressed.
Thanks, Trustee Cam. I see Trustee Rivero's hand raised.
Yes. Just so I understand, you said we don't have to vote on this?
That's correct, because, when we have agreement between the union and the city, that basically amends the plan. And now we're bound to follow that.
Okay, because the agenda said adoption of the policy. So should that be corrected procedurally?
It should be really, it's a discussion regarding the adoption. So I think we're okay. And we're not adopting, we're discussing it. That we're discussing the fact that we're not adopting it. So I think we're fine.
Got it. All right, thank you.
Any other questions on this? Thanks, Attorney Cohen. Let's move to item B, discussion regarding the discussion regarding updating the IRS approved plan. Yes. Attorney Cohen.
This is Carolyn Cohen. Unfortunately, I guess Jack Strother would be presenting this otherwise, but he didn't get the invitation. So Taylor and I tried to just send it to him. But so we discussed this at the last meeting. And I hope you all received our March 4th memo, which set out of the reasons for this project that we're proposing. So before recently, every 5 years, the plan had to submit an updated, the board had to submit an updated plan to the IRS. And the last time we did that was in 2015. And it was approved by the IRS in 2017. The IRS is no longer required that they review our plan but we do need to keep every 5 years updating our plan. And it's important, particularly for the police and fire fund, because it's the one place where all of the rules for the administration of the plan can be found. So the police contract is very clear what the pension rules are. The fire contract incorporates by reference a 1957 special act and ordinances. And it can't really be found in one place. So this is the one place it can be found. And since the 2017 plan, there have been changes to the pension provisions, both in terms of contributions and buybacks and that type of thing. And we think it's very helpful to have an updated plan. We told you we would not charge you anything for that. And we understand that the police contract is being negotiated and there could be some changes. In the queue, we're going to do the SURF plan first, and we also have another SURF project. So we don't anticipate starting this immediately, but we would like to get it in our queue, basically, to do. And I think last time people weren't really, it wasn't clear what we were talking about. So we tried to do this memo to clarify the project.
Thank you. Questions? Any questions? All right, we're tackling a lot of things quickly. Item three, administrative matters, the election of the vice president. Is there a motion to propose a vice president for the PNF pension fund?
I'd like to make a motion to nominate our current vice president, Pat Cannon, for re-election.
So there's a nomination on the floor. Is there a second of the motion to nominate Mr. Cannon for vice president?
Second.
I see Mr. Trustee McDermott made the motion. Trustee Ribeiro made the second. Are there any other nominations for vice president? Any other nominations? Okay. We'll close the nomination period and we will vote on the one nomination. All those in favor of electing Mr. Cannon as the vice president again, please say aye. Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro? Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. Congratulations, Mr. Cannon, on your reelection.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Do you want to give a speech or anything?
Now, I just would like to continue to work with this current board. I think that this is a great collection of people together. We're all like-minded with protecting the interests of the police and fire pension fund. So I look forward to continuing with this group.
Thank you. We appreciate your willingness to step up. Moving on to item D, annual review of PNF policies. As folks will recall, we discussed this last time, and understandably, folks wanted a little bit more time to just review the policies. Attorney Cohn or Taylor, anyone have anything to add here?
I do. This is Carolyn Cohn. First of all, just so that I should have clarified this, but this is both the annual meeting and a regular meeting. And we're supposed to do a review of our policies. And I think that I've been speaking or by emailing with Mr. Moran and Mr. Ciampini. And I believe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, we're going to be trying to update the investment policy. Maybe for next meeting, right?
Yes, sorry about that. I should have had it done for this meeting, but for the next meeting, if you could put that in the agenda, I'll remind Taylor, but we will present that. And make sure I don't forget, I need Mayor Alucard as the chair to sign that also and date it once it's presented, if approved.
Will do. Other questions here?
Yeah, I don't believe, this is Carolyn Cohn, I don't believe our bylaws or our code of conduct require any updating. So I think if we update our investment policy, we'll be on track.
But just a point of clarification, do we need to vote to reaffirm them or anything?
I do not think so. We're just supposed to be deciding whether or not we need to make any changes. So.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Trustee Rivera. Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Since we have new members on the board, can we just resend those documents back out so they make sure that they have a copy, and for members that have been here for a while, just to make sure we have the correct version?
Taylor.
Yeah, I sent it. There's a link attached to it. I mean, I can download each PDF and maybe send it out that way, but there is a link that they can click, and it'll bring them to the website that has the bylaws and code of conduct on that.
Okay, I'll check. I may have missed that link. Thank you.
It's in the body of the email that Taylor sent out. And I will put it in the chat.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for pointing it out. Any other comments or questions from the trustees on item D?
This is Trustee Cannon.
Go ahead.
Mayor?
Trustee Cannon.
Yeah, I think Trustee Rivera brings up a great point. Also, if we go a little further with that, maybe an annual review of the bylaws and the investment policy and the code of conduct would be good for not only the new members, but all of us, because we have an education component to our bylaws. And it might be a good thing if we were to review it.
Well, dude, I think that, you know, we had talked about taking a look at the bylaws and such, and reviewing and seeing if there's any particular comments that people have. So, if there's if people still need some more time to review it, I think at any time we could entertain revisiting and changing our bylaws. So maybe folks can take a read again, and if there's anything of concern or things that people want to change, I'm very open to putting that on the agenda again.
Great.
Any other comments here or questions? Okay, moving on to item 3E, PNF expenses and mayor's proposed budget. I see Mr. Gormley here. Mr. Gormley, do you want to talk about this item?
Sure. I know there was a question on this item that Taylor and Leanna had sent to me. To be honest,
I think Mr. Cannon had raised a question.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the question is, but I will just quickly show my screen to make sure this is what we're talking about. If you can give me screen share.
I cannot, but I presume Taylor can.
So in the mayor's proposed budget, you know, we had the conversation in the last budget cycle about showing the administrative expenses. So this is the mayor's proposed budget that is online. Just scrolling on page 2-114 or PDF page 158. This is where the items are located. So you'll see for SERF, we did the retirement contribution plus the administrative expenses, and we did the same thing for PNF. So this is the ADEC payment that will go in for the fiscal year along with the administrative expenses. Again, as we mentioned, this all just goes in like we normally do because it's all part of the ADEC and what the committee voted on. This number here, the 285, was actually a typo by my office. The actual approved administrative expenses were 269 that were approved by this board. But again, no matter what, we put in the $53.9 million. So, you know, that additional $14,000 would have just been listed in this $53.6 million number. So again, we did break out the contribution and the administrative expenses.
Michael, can we correct that in the technical amendment in the budget?
Yeah, again, the overall bottom line number is not going to change, but in the final version of the budget book, that will be corrected to what the board actually did approve.
Thank you. Questions, Mr. Cannon, do you have any follow-up questions here?
Mayor, I apologize. I'm on a phone call in, so I don't have access to the screen. I just wanted to make sure that this board could see where it actually is in the budget. Mr. Gormley is the budget director. He reads those budget proposals pretty easy, but I wanted to make sure everybody on our board knew where they were and that we could all see it in the budget.
Yeah, appreciate it. And thank you, Mr. Gormley, for pointing out exactly where the administrative expenses were pulled out of the overall ADEC payments. Any other questions from folks here? Okay, moving on to item four, age annuity retirement. This is an information only item. Note for the record about Herschel Wildley, the retirement there. Item five, age annuity retirement and service connected disability. Two people on the agenda here, and I'm not sure if we need to go into executive session again or not, but on item A, unless there's some change here, we can keep this item tabled. Trustee McDermott, is that appropriate or should we go into executive session?
I didn't receive any updated document.
Let's keep it tabled.
We should still keep that item tabled.
Okay, we'll do. Is there a motion about item B, or does anybody need to feel the need to go into executive session on item B, 5B? Is there a motion there?
Trustee Cannon, motion to approve Leah DiNapoli for age annuity retirement service-connected disability.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Brooks made the second. Any discussion on this item? All is in favor. Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro? Aye. Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
And I am an aye. That item passes. Moving on to item six, service-connected disability, Robert Ferraro. Is there a motion here?
Motion to approve service-connected disability for Robert Ferraro.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Cannon made the motion, and I think Trustee Brooks got the second in there. Trustee Ribeiro, do you have a comment?
Do we need to go on an executive session for this?
If there's a discussion item?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's go into executive session.
I move that we go into executive session. I'm sorry, there was a motion.
Yeah, so Trustee Brooks made the second, Trustee Cannon made the motion. Can you rescind your motion, please?
I will rescind my second.
Trustee Cannon?
I will rescind my motion.
Then I move to go into executive session to discuss the service-connected disability.
Second.
Okay. Would like to bring in Taylor, Eve DeSant, Carolyn Cohn. Is there anyone else that I need to bring in here? All those in favor of going into executive session, say aye. Trustee Ribeiro.
Aye.
Trustee Brooks.
Aye.
Trustee Vereen.
Aye.
Trustee McDermott.
Aye.
Trustee Cannon.
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. Taylor, if you could bring us into executive session, that'd be great.
Should we proceed?
I think we're missing Trustee Cannon, but I think everybody else should be back.
There he is. Okay. Just a reminder, we are on item six. Is there a motion on the table? Or is there a motion to put on the table?
Yes. I move that we table this item pending further clarification regarding the medical documents.
Thank you, Trustee Ribeiro. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Brooks made the second. All those in favor of tabling the item, please signify by saying aye. Trustee Ribeiro.
Aye.
Trustee Brooks.
Aye.
Trustee McDermott.
Aye.
Trustee Vereen.
Aye.
Trustee Cannon. You're on mute.
Aye.
Thank you, sir. And I am an aye as well. So the motion to table passes. Moving on to item seven, payment of the bills. Is there any discussion on this item?
Motion to approve.
Second.
The Trustee Cannon made the motion. Trustee Brooks seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor, Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. So the payment of the bills passes. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I so move, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Trustee Brooks. Second. Second by Trustee Ribeiro. All those in favor, Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Ribeiro?
Aye.
Cannon?
Aye.
Vereen?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. So we are adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Good to see you all.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Take care.